Once upon a time, I was a senior pastor of this church. It was either my son or my wife on Friday, August 1st, that asked me, "So how does it feel to be unemployed?" And for the first time since 2004. But I gave the pastor answer. I said, "I'm employed by Jesus as a missionary, all right?" So anyways, this is kind of the real last time I'm going to be up here. We have something we want to do. So I'm going to have the elders come up here. And just to kind of give you guys the scriptural example for what's about to take place. So what we see all throughout scripture is this example, this principle that's given by the Lord of when he anoints somebody. Anointing means enables. God is the one that calls people into doing certain things. He gifts everyone, and he is the one that anoints, enables them through the power of his Spirit to do those things he calls them to. He has this special outward representation or this outward example that shows a spiritual reality that happens in somebody when he has leaders that he calls, mainly priests and kings, into leadership. And he has them anointed with oil, representing or being symbolic of the Holy Spirit in God's word. And so basically that outward, they get dumped. I think somebody brought a bucket of oil today, right? But they get anointed with oil, and it basically is showing everyone that's watching that this is God's chosen person who God has anointed with his Spirit to do this role of being a leader in God's church. And so today, that's what we're going to do is a leadership in this church. We're recognizing that Eric has been called by God to be the new senior pastor, and we're going to anoint him with oil and pray over him. And so as your new senior pastor, we ask you guys just to kind of join in with us as we pray and agree with those things. So I'm going to get not the bucket of oil. I have a little anointing oil. So we'll do that, and we will pray over him. And we ask you guys, maybe you guys want to just stretch your hands out as we pray in just an act of recognition of what we're doing here for Eric. All right. I'm going to anoint your forehead. And let's go ahead and just, we'll go around and everyone can pray.
Well, Father, we just bow our heads and we're thankful today. We're thankful that you've given us a faithful man to step into the role of leading this church. God, just as you've given us two faithful men before, and we look forward to all that you're going to do in Eric and ask that you give him grace. You'd fill him with the Holy Spirit so he'd be wise and able to discern what your will is. And God, we just thank you for our brother. And we pray, God, for hearts of submission as he leads the church, Lord, that we would submit to him as senior pastor. And God, we ask for blessing in the name of Jesus Christ upon him and his family, and upon the body of Christ here at Coastline, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for Eric. You know, just the blessing he's been already in so many ways here as he's just faithfully serves you mm-hmm. and serves your church, Lord. And Lord, while he's stepping into a role where he's kind of the face of things and the mouthpiece, Lord, this is your church. It's not Eric's church. Right. And, you know, we've seen the torch get passed already once in this church, and it's been a good thing. We've seen your work done, and we just thank you that Eric is the next guy, the one that's just going to be faithful to preach the word, faithful to prayerfully consider direction. And I thank you for this group of elders that I get to serve with, that we're all like-minded, and Lord, we want to give you free reign in this church. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Father, I agree with that. Lord, thank you so much for giving us a shepherd to lead. Lord, as he leads us, Lord, I just ask that he would just lean on you to be his leader, to be his shepherd. Lord, you are so good to us. You're so good as it's been prayed. And just ask for protection over Eric and his wife, Allie, and their family, that you would just bless them and Lord, just protect him. And as we're here, that we would just lift him up in prayer as we think of him, think of the church, Lord, that we would just lift him up as as Aaron did to Moses. Thank you, Lord.
Just driving out here today, just felt like the Lord put on my heart, just thinking about Samuel when he went to Jesse to go just be obedient to the Lord and select the new king. And just wanted to read just a real short piece here. So it says, when Jesse's son came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And here we have just a humble mechanic. Lord, hands were black, cut and crushed. Dirty boots, stained pants. And as I just stand here looking at his feet with his new boots on, very sincerely fulfilling this, stepping into this new role that you have in his life, just so blessed by his obedience. You don't look at the outward appearance, Lord, even though he's pretty handsome. You look at the heart. Lord, I just pray that you would fill him afresh with your spirit today. God, that you would just lead him, guide him, and that he would rely on you for everything, Lord. That he wouldn't get arrogant. Not that I'm afraid of that, but Lord, he's just a fallible man. Lord, protect him, keep him humble. And I pray that as elders, we would help him stay humble, Lord, respectfully. Not in a mean way, but just because we're brothers in Christ and that's what we're supposed to do. So we just want to commend him to you, Lord.
Lord, your word says in Ephesians 4 that the gifted people are a gift from you to your people. The gifted people are gifted people to us. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the gift of Eric, the calling that we see in his life, and the way that we've already benefited from you working through him. We thank you, Lord. We give you the credit. I know that's Eric's heart, is it? You get all of the glory in his life, and we agree with that. And just want to read these verses from 1 Peter 5. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock of God, or the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly and not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the good shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Lord, I receive these qualities in my friend, my fellow elder, and now my pastor and my boss. And I pray, Lord, that you would maintain those for him. Just guard him from the evil one. I love what Will prayed. May he be led by you as you use him to help lead us, in Jesus' name.
I was thinking of this passage, something I've been praying over Eric for the last year during this transition, so I'm going to read it. This is from 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elijah, the priest of God, was passing the torch, if you will, to Elisha, his spiritual son that had followed him and he had raised up. And it says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elijah said, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. And he said, you've asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I'm being taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, and the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. Lord, just as Elisha saw Elijah carried away by the Lord and taken away, but that was his confirmation that the Lord was with him. is in humility, he just realizes insufficiency. And he said, Lord, he said, I need like a double portion of like what the Spirit you had, Lord, to do the Lord's work. And so, Lord, that's what we pray for our brother here. I see the same humility in him and of reliance on you. And that's the best thing we could ever have, Lord, because you won't withhold yourself. When we're serving you and for your glory, you will give us everything we need to do that. So I have been praying and I still pray that even now you would just anoint him with a double portion of your Spirit to do this work that you have to do in this church and through him and his family in this next season, Lord. And may he just have confidence in the calling and the anointing of God, not himself, but in you, Lord, the one that has told him and called him into this role, Lord. So we commit him to you. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. And those boots are nice, bro. They fit you well.
Well, they were threatening to anoint me with motor oil or hydraulic oil or gear oil or something like that. That I would be used to. Has happened on more than one occasion. But and I'm super thankful for just the elders here. It's just an amazing group of guys, and really blessed to serve with them. And also just something that came to my mind, I wasn't planning on sharing this as they were just praying over me. Some of you guys know this, some of you may not, but Allie and I thought we were supposed to like go somewhere and plant a church for a long time. And we prayed a lot about like, well, where are you sending us? Where are we going to go? And sort of, you know, we're trying to figure out what that looked like. And for a long time, Allie always said, I don't know if we're really called to like a place, but shouldn't we be like have a burden for people? Shouldn't we have a burden for like the people of a community and not necessarily just for like a place to go? And I was just kind of like, I don't know. I just want to go somewhere cool, you know? And, but, just standing up here and seeing all the ways over the last 10 years that God has kept us here in Clatsop County, and also just the heart that God has given us for the people of Clatsop County, I really believe that that's why we're here. And it is a pretty cool place, but it's for the people. It's for you guys and everyone in Clatsop County. And so just looking out over the sanctuary here this morning, it just really is a blessing to just see all your faces, and really humbling to be standing up here. So there's a little story that I've heard before that somebody shared at the conference a couple weeks ago. And it's about this pastor who was, he was a really big dude, and they had a stained glass window of Jesus in the back behind the pulpit. And this pastor would stand up and preach every Sunday. And there was a little girl and her family that would sit in the front row. And one day the pastor didn't come. He, you know, was sick or whatever, and had somebody fill in for him. And he was a little smaller, you know, he was a little smaller in stature. And a little girl leaned over and asked her dad, "Daddy, where's the man that never lets us see Jesus?" Because with the smaller pastor up there, he could look past and see the stained glass window of Jesus. You know, Chris, he's not a small fellow, you know, he's kind of a big guy, but what I have loved about him being our pastor and my pastor is that he hasn't been too big for us to see Jesus. Amen. And that's my hope and prayer, is that I can do the same thing. I don't want to draw anyone to myself or anyone to think, oh man, we got to go to church because Eric's the pastor now or whatever. Like, that's not it at all. But we worship a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's our living hope. And so that's what we're here to do. And I'm actually not teaching today. Figured I'd take the day off, you know, kind of ease into this thing. It's just, it's a lot to have to think about. And actually we have missionaries that have been scheduled to be here quite a ways ahead of time. And these are some folks who have just obeyed Jesus' command, the Great Commission, to go bring the gospel to the ends of the earth.
And it's not the great suggestion or a great idea, but it's the Great Commission, and they've been commissioned by Jesus and have taken that quite literally and gone to Slovenia to make disciples over there. And we support them as a church body. And, you know, it's been said before, I don't know where tithing is supposed to stop, but it's not going to stop here. And I just want to commend you guys, first of all, that you guys are a generous church, a generous body of believers. Just want to speak that over you and let you know that. And that at least 10% of every dollar that comes in as tithes and offerings to Coastline gets sent back out in the tithe, on the tithe, what we call it. And so we send it out to missionaries locally and all across the world. And the Word of Boz who are here today are some of those missionaries. And before I invite them up, I just want to read a quick verse. This is in Acts chapter 15. And this is where Paul is, where he's on his first missionary journey. And he and another guy named Barnabas, they've been traveling around. They've been preaching and teaching and planting churches everywhere and appointing elders and stuff. And they're seeing God just do amazing things, seeing tons of people believe in Jesus, get saved, have their lives transformed. And they kind of circle back around to the church of Jerusalem. And it says in Acts 15, starting in verse 3, it says, "So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them." And so maybe this morning you're just wondering, like, what is a missionary? What do they even do? Why do they go? And why are they even here? And why are we listening to what they say? Well, because the book of Acts is the earliest account. It's when the church began. And it's as a church here at Coastline, it's how we try to model how we do church. And so what we see here is that they went out, planted churches, they're sharing the gospel, and then they came back and gave a report of what all God had done with them. And so that's basically what we're doing today. They're here to give a report of what God has done with them. And we're going to rejoice with them today. Amen. As we hear from them. So I'm just going to invite up Sean and Christina to give us an update. Yeah, that's okay. You can give them a round of applause.
This is definitely a place we call home. Many familiar faces. So when we come back, we feel encouraged. I get emotional singing in English. And just being with you guys. So, and it's a special Sunday. Like, we get to be here on a very special Sunday. So that's a blessing.
For those that don't know, this has been our home church for many years. And we do have other churches that we've visited along the way as we've been married through our 22 years almost. But this is the church that we've spent the most time in and that we really call our main home church. So I just want you guys to know that personally, that this is our first and foremost, as you remember maybe from about 7 years ago, when we came back to the States for about a year, this is where we came because this is our home. And as we think, if God ever calls us somewhere else, we hope it's here. So we are serving in Slovenia. We have four kids, which you might recognize. Zach and Nathan have been around a little bit more often. They just finished their first year at Ecola and are staying on the conference center this summer. And so they're around. Nathan's here. Zach's in Cannon Beach still today. And then we have Corbin and Alicia with us as well. And we're serving in Slovenia, which is, as you see, Austria to the north, Italy, the Adriatic up behind Italy's down there. We have small coast there, Croatia. And we are now in the last 7 years or so, we've been in the capital city of Ljubljana, which is the big black dot in the middle. And we, since we've been there, have been working with a couple different churches. And primarily what we do is we go to churches that don't have a youth ministry or children's ministry, and we come in and we help start it up. We start children's and youth work. Christina is very gifted with the children's, and also we both work together with the youth ministry. And then we train up Slovenes and nationals in the church to take on that role and to raise up that youth ministry. And then when they're self-sustaining, then God moves us on to another church. So we've done that a few times. Many of you kind of have heard some of this, or you know maybe more about Slovenia now with after Melania Trump, and then Luka Doncic is making Slovenia a little more popular. But if you stick your finger on the globe here in Astoria and spin it around, you'll hit Slovenia. It's 46 parallel, very similar climate. It's a very beautiful mountainous place, but it's also dark and it's also depressed. They have one of the highest depression and suicide rates in the world per capita. And a positive and a negative is, the negative is there's only around one believer per thousand. That means in the entire Astoria, there would only be about 10 believers. And that means there wouldn't be a church in Astoria.
Include Seaside.
Yeah, including Seaside.
Now we got, I think, 17 believers, if you include Seaside. If you include Cannon Beach, Seaside, and Astoria and the surroundings, we got about 20 believers. That kind of gives you an idea what Slovenia.
So you might be able to put together one little house church home group on this whole North Coast area. This is a little representation of each dot here represents about 50 believers. That doesn't mean there's a church at each one of these dots, but this is how they're spread. And for many people, they have to drive an hour if they want to get to church. And that's a big deal for Slovenes. They don't really drive more than 10, 20 minutes.
But they have to, right? They don't have an option. That doesn't mean, oh, skip a church. Oh, there's another church, but just keep driving because I like that church an hour away. This is, there's no church
the
in an hour distance.
Church option. Yeah. So. And so some of the things that God's opened the doors for us to do is with baseball in the local schools. That opens the door for me to get in there and do that. And then from baseball, we can invite kids to youth group. Our kids, some of our youth in the top picture there, organized a worship night. Just like a group of 13 to 15-year-olds, they wrote and contacted all their friends around Slovenia, and they gathered them together, and there was around 100 to 120 youth that came together and worshiped, and it was all youth-led. And
which
that was
huge,
a miracle.
Because these kids are the only believers oftentimes in their entire school. So a 13-year-old, 15-year-old organized this worship night and said, guys, we got to put the gospel out there. Our classmates are not, they don't know the truth. And they're so passionate. We get these 13 and 15-year-olds, I mean, young kids, they're going, let's go street witnessing. We're not motivating them. It's the Holy Spirit yeah. in them going, guys, look at our country. We're lost. And let's go out there. So it's so encouraging
yeah.
God's doing.
How many 13, or maybe if there are any 13 to 15-year-olds in the room still, how many do you know that would be all excited about going street witnessing in their hometown, in their neighborhood, door to door? It's a rare thing. But something that really amazing that happened is the week before we came to Slovenia, we were in Croatia. And we had this massive multi-international youth event,
festival.
And so Corbin's going to share a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so hey guys, I'm Corbin. This festival, it was insane. I was really blessed to be a part of it. And like the topic of it was Iznad svih valova, which translates to above all waves. Now, this camp was in Croatia, and it was mostly in Croatian. All of the talks in Croatian, and then if you needed translation, you could get it into English or Macedonian. But as you can see, the shirts in the right picture, a little bit, you see that wave stuff, and it says, Iznad svih valova, so that's in Croatian, above all waves. And the crazy, so the thing that I love about that topic is it really, the topic was where Jesus was walking on water and he called Simon Peter out onto the water to walk to Jesus. And then Peter did, but then he got distracted of all of the storms and the big waves. And then he started sinking, but immediately he called to Jesus for help. And it's just amazing to see how Jesus is above all the waves, above all the storms in our life, above everything. All we have to do is turn to him and call for help, and immediately he will reach his hand in and grab you and pull you above the waters.
Amen.
And above all the storms.
And, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Corbin. the coolest thing. I mean, it was so cool, just the speaking, right? The talks and the, but it was to inspire the Balkan countries. There's been war in these countries. They, I would even go as far as to say they hate each other. There's war is just 30 years ago.
It's a former very, Yugoslavia. As Yugoslavia was breaking up, it was brutal and bloody war.
Mm-hmm. And so the one of the pastors said, let's get these countries together. The believers need to act differently. We are brothers and sisters across these countries. And so that's what this is. 1,100 kids from age 13 to 29 came, and then 300 leaders. So together there was 1,400 people at this. And we just got off of this. We came home from camp, packed our bags, did our laundry, and left the next day. So this is the newest thing that we've seen God doing in Europe. And it's a wave. But Jesus is above all the waves, and he's in the movement, right? We got to find the surfboard and surf his wave. And he's, this is one of the ways we see him moving.
So with that, as many of you know, we have been with Josiah Venture for, well, on field full-time for 13 years, but been connected with him for over 20. And the primary focus, as we mentioned before, was helping to start youth ministries and children's ministries in churches. And that's still a lot of what we're going to be doing, but we are now transitioning to Mesa Global. And our ministry, the reason for this primarily is God's opening the doors for even more. More than just youth ministry, which youth ministry is still our primary, and we think it's still the most important and vital part to revival in a region, because the revival, if you look throughout history, it usually started with youth, with young people. And so that's still where we focus. But God has opened the doors for more ministries and more opportunities. And with Mesa Global, that gives us the open doors to do so much beyond. And we'll share a little bit more about that. But one of them is what Christina has been called by God for.
Christian radio station. I don't know much about this, and I even wondered if it was too early to share this summer with all of you what God has put on my heart. But I need prayer, right? And so I said, it's not too early to pray. So we're in the very beginning stages. I feel like God really put it on my heart to start a Christian radio station in Slovenia. There is zero Christian radio stations in the entire country of Slovenia, and it is a radio culture country. So they're always listening to radio. And I thought, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I believe you do. So would you guys pray about this radio station that I'm just starting to walk out, getting information, collecting? Well, 2 weeks after I felt God put this on my heart, I just want to share this story because this gave me some confirmation, and he's been confirming it. But 2 weeks after I felt, I put a question mark in my journal, Natasha called me. Who's Natasha? This is Natasha's story. She was Zach's, our 21-year-old, third grade teacher. So many years ago, she gave her life to the Lord. And I had her phone number saved, and I thought, I need to call Natasha after I put that question mark in my book. Why? Because she is a radio host to the second largest radio station in all of Slovenia, and I thought, well, I need to call her and see how Slovenia does this. Well, 2 weeks later, my phone rings. I probably haven't talked to her. I mean, not regular, 5 years, you know, you go 5 years, but we still had a connection. And I'm looking, I'm like, Sean, Natasha's calling me. Like, I need to talk to her. She goes, Christina. So I answer, Christina, I need to talk to you. I just feel like God's telling me to do this radio station thing for him, to do something on radio, but I wanted to put worship out on the station. And I thought maybe you would know who to call or what God's doing in this country for him on that. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll erase the question mark. So anyways, you could pray about this. He's doing something.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And then as we were praying about what God's calling us forward into, God put on my heart to be an apostle and advocate across Slovenia to bring more missionaries into Slovenia. As a team, we recently surveyed we interviewed extensively the pastors around the country, and majority of them are saying, we need help, we need workers, which wasn't so much the case. They weren't so open to that 10 years ago. But now the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and they're asking for help.
Amen.
And so that's one of the things with our move is anybody of any age to any ministry, whatever your giftings, your callings are, it's needed in Slovenia as well. And that's something that God's been putting on my heart, is to help onboard and train and prepare new missionaries in Slovenia.
So pray for us. Thank you guys so much for all your prayers, for your support. These are three of our four kids. So that's what we have to share today. Thank you.
Hey, would you guys just join us in prayer? We're just to pray for the radio station, pray for everything God's doing, pray for their family and stuff. If you want to, you can just raise your hand up as like a just symbolic of raising your hearts up for this precious family. So Lord, we thank you for the Word of Oz, and we thank you in all the great things that you have done with them in Slovenia and the great things you're going to do with them in the future, Lord. Thank you for your hand of favor in their lives, your hand of favor in their kids' lives, your hand of favor in all the youth over there in Slovenia. And Lord, I pray that you would just lift up the valleys and lower the mountains and make a flat way, a wide path for the gospel and for workers, Lord. We pray that you would raise up workers to go into Slovenia. Lord, put on people's hearts, maybe even on someone's heart right now in this moment, you would ask someone, would you go to Slovenia? Or maybe even someone on the internet, on the live feed, would you go to Slovenia for me? The Lord might ask us. And so we thank you for this family, and we thank you for your love for us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Every time I get the opportunity to share, I'm nervous and it's a blessing, but I'm really excited about being with you a little extra this morning, just to kind of share what God's been putting on my heart specifically, and how he's calling me to share that with you as well. So as I get this set up, so the title of the message that I'm going to share today is Pray, Give, Go. Say yes to God's best. And I want to inspire everyone here to say yes to God's best plan in your life. Every single one of us, God has a plan, and he has already great adventures and ideas of what he has for you, knowing how he created you. And all it takes from our side is to say yes to God's plan, to follow his way for us. And so for us to live God's best, God leads each of us individually in prayer, in giving, and in going, both how to pray, what to give, and where to go. And so God has a calling for each of us to serve him with our lives and to continue growing closer to Jesus. Because that's really, it's not just about going and doing things. It starts with our heart to Jesus. It starts with our connection and our personal relationship with Jesus. And from that, out of the overflow of that, is where we move forward in going and serving God. So I'm going to start opening in prayer, and then we're going to get into this. So yes, Father God, thank you so much for this morning and this time we can be together in your word. God, I thank you that your word is truth, and that among all of the craziness and opinions and ideas and really nonsense going on in the world right now, God, I thank you that we can turn to your word as truth. So as we open your word this morning, God, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would speak through me, and you would lead this time and open our hearts to hear from you and to hear what your best plan is for us, for our lives, individually, each one of us. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said before, God wants to lead each of us in both how to pray, what to give, and where to go. And this will lead all of us into God's best plan for each of our lives. And so first, why pray? Why do we pray? Is it just because we need something? Or, oh, hey, God, by the way, you know, my back's hurting today. I'm kind of getting old, and can you help my back? Like, okay, you can pray for that. But it's more than just our normal daily needs. There's things outside of our world. Prayer is a way that we can look outward to the people around us and pray for other needs as well. For many of us, we've fought through countless spiritual attacks and battles in our lives. And the enemy is constantly trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He never lets up. And the more aggressive you are for God, the more aggressive he's going to attack. But that doesn't mean that we just sit back and try and live a peaceful life. We are called to be prayer warriors. There is a good chance that our family specifically would not be alive right now if it wasn't for many of your prayers. There are many times where Satan has really tried to take us out, and even just a few years ago where we all almost died in the house fire. And that's just another example of where the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, and it's prayer from people back here with our family here that is keeping us going and alive through crazy things. I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the next one is, why give? Many churches and ministry and families like ours would not be on the field. The church staff here would not be able to work full-time staff if it wasn't for your giving to support the ministry in this church. How much time would Pastor Eric have if he had to continue doing full-time tractor mechanic work and try and meet with you guys in the evenings and care for, like, and then also prepare a sermon and think about the vision of the church? He wouldn't have the time to invest that the church needs if he was having to maintain a full-time job. And so that is a full-time calling that needs full-time support. And then the other piece is, why go? Why does anybody need to go into any kind of ministry? Where's God even calling you to go? Wherever you go in this world, there are people who need Jesus. So here in Astoria area, each of you have people around you that don't know Jesus. And each of us are called to go to those people around us and share Jesus with them. Whether it's from the North Coast locals to even the blessed summer tourists that we love so much, they all need Jesus. And even to the lost souls in Slovenia, God's calling everyone to go somewhere and to do something. So this can be as simple as sharing something that God's done recently in your life. We all have things that God's doing in you and through you, but sometimes we aren't aware of that. Sometimes we forget, like, oh man, what's God doing in my life? I feel like, oh yeah, the missionaries, they got all kinds of fun, crazy stories, but I don't have anything. Of course you do. You just got to open your eyes and look at what God's doing in your life. God's working in every one of your lives, and if you look back, sometimes the hindsight's the 2020 where you can see, like, think back to the things that God's done in your life. Look at where you are today. For many guys, look at all the ways you almost died as a teenager and the fact that you are literally still alive. Like, there's a lot of miracles that maybe you don't even know about. But first, we're going to go a little deeper into prayer. In Luke 10:2, Jesus tells us, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So what's the main thing Jesus is asking us to do in this passage? As he's talking to his disciples, he says, pray for workers. Pray for workers. Pray that God would send workers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. You know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't say that the harvest was so plentiful yet in Slovenia. It was still dry, and it was still plowing ground and planting seeds. But today, I can clearly say, along with many of the pastors around the country, the harvest in Slovenia is plentiful and ready for harvest, and there are not enough workers. And so pray that God would send workers to the harvest. And pray for those workers on the harvest. Pray for the workers here in this community and those that God has sent around. And there's no exceptions. There's no exception where God's like, oh, you know, if you feel like it, if you feel you have the spiritual gift of prayer, then you should pray. Not too many people would identify with having the spiritual gift of prayer. God says, do it. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. There are so many passages. There's no exceptions to prayer. Last year, our team, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, met one-on-one with all of the individual pastors around the country. And they are just saying, please, we need help. Send us workers. And that's part of what God's shifting in my calling, is to help bring workers to these ministries all over the country. There are youth that are wanting a youth group, but there aren't workers in the church to do it. There are people in the community that are ready to give their lives to Jesus, but nobody giving them the gospel. And then we even have a lot of new believers, but we don't have mature believers to disciple them. And so they're kind of blind leading the blind, and it gets kind of confusing and chaotic and messy sometimes, but we need mature believers in country to come and lead these people to Jesus properly. So our team has been working on training people, but there's only so many of us. And so as we've been in Slovenia, we're training workers, we're starting youth pastors and training up elders, but it's a slow go. And so we really see here where Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so from here, if we look at 2 Corinthians, we're going to be in this part of 2 Corinthians, or a few parts of 2 Corinthians. So if everyone could turn to 2 Corinthians first in chapter 1, and we'll be flipping through here a bit. But here we see how Paul vulnerably shares how he and many other missionaries feel at times. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Notice he says in the prayers of many. It's not just a few that are praying. Many are needed in prayer. And when you pray for those in ministry, we feel it. We definitely have many times. For example, I mentioned our house fire. After the fire, when we all escaped and got out to the street and we're just standing there watching it burn, and then the firemen finally get there watching after it's mostly gone, but we're just standing there all on a blanket watching the house smolder, and the firemen asked us, they're like, "Are you guys okay? Are you guys like in shock?" Like assessing if we're in shock, you know, is everybody out, all that kind of thing. But they later told us that they were surprised by how much peace we had. As we're standing out there, they said, typically people are screaming, they're frantic, they're like losing their minds. You guys are just at peace. And he said, "We've never seen that before." And that's like, wow. And that was just a testimony there to your prayers. That even in a time where we're watching all our earthly belongings in smoke, and we're standing there in peace, God's going to take care of us. God will provide. And they said, "We've never seen that." So thank you for your prayers for that. That's just one quick story of how we've experienced the peace from your prayers. Some other interesting things that also happen when we pray faithfully for something is that God grows our heart for that need. And as we pray, the more we pray, the more often we have that need on our heart, we start to think, oh, maybe I can meet that need. Maybe I can support that somehow. Or maybe God's calling me to physically do this need and fulfill this need that I'm seeing. Oftentimes, good advice for pastors is when someone comes to them with something that needs done, they should say, "Great, when do you start? Let's do it. How can I help you? You've seen a need, let's do it. I've got your back." But like, if God's put something on your heart, pray for that, and often you'll end up being the one to fulfill that need. So this brings us to our second way to say yes to God's best is with giving. And as we give, we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, so flip a few pages ahead. And verses 8, 1 through 12 is the bigger passage, but a few verses out of it, we can see from this passage how Paul is talking about the Macedonians here, who entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. In complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Something interesting being over there is we know Macedonians. Macedonians are some of our favorite culture groups in that part of Europe. They are so generous, so welcoming, so friendly, so hospitable. They're just nice as a culture. Macedonian people, but they're also very poor. Macedonia is a very poor country, but they're the most generous and most welcoming and giving of most of the Balkan countries. And so as we see this, they haven't changed in 2,000 years. They are poor, but they're urgently pleading with Paul. He's like, oh no, you guys don't have much. And they're like, please just let us give what we have. Because they know the blessing and the joy it is of giving as they're in need and someone gives to them and they know that joy. They're like, we want to give to others in need. We want to share that joy and we want to have that joy of being generous, even with the little that they had. And giving is such a blessing that these Macedonians, when the more you give and the more opportunities, the more you'll experience that joy. And it's like a contagious thing. You're like, ooh, God, I need more so that I can give more. Not for me, but I need more to be able to give. In Philippians 4, 10 and 20, Paul thankfully tells them of how their giving to the Philippians is a fragrant offering and a sacrifice pleasing to God. And he encourages them that God will meet all your needs. You can't outgive God. It doesn't mean you just empty your bank account and throw it all in one place. Like, God wants you to follow his lead in giving and be responsible with that as well. There is some responsibility to go along with that as God's leading. But you can't outgive God. And Jesus also tells us in Acts 20, 35, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So there are so many verses about God's promises to overflowing blessing. For example, we have Malachi 3:10. Just flip through a few really quickly. These are familiar passages, but you know, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This is the only time I know where God says to test him. But it says here, test me, try it. You don't have faith? Test me. See if I won't provide for you if you provide for my house. And that, I believe, is specifically talking about the tithe, the support of your local church ministry. Some people are like, oh, you know, I like to give to this and to that. I don't really want to give to the church. They probably have enough. But no, that's, if your heart's called to give other places, great, do that too. But God says, first, make sure you take care of the house of worship where you meet. That is needed. That's first priority. And then on top of that, give wherever your God calls you, wherever your heart desires. We also have in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, a little longer passage, but it's an illustration that many farmers or investors will really get. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Eric was mentioning this earlier as well. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. It goes on, but basically, your generosity results in thanksgiving to God. And then we see in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap, with the measure you use, it will be measured against you. I've seen this with different people in my family as well, where they can be really stingy. Not my immediately family here, but I've seen this in some family members where the ones that are really holding on, they're like, yeah, I'll lend you this, but make sure, or like, you know, you probably know people that are really tight and people aren't generous with them because they're not generous. And it's like, I've noticed even in my own heart, my relationship with finance to them, it's like, okay, well, I got to count every penny because they're counting every penny and like make sure I pay them back. Just exactly. Oh, and like you kind of have this different mindset. But then the people that are generous to us, it's like, oh, I'll just be generous with you and you're generous. There's this open, maybe you've seen this with people that you know, with the people that are tight, it's kind of like you're kind of cautious around finance with them. But then with the people that are generous, it's like you're just free. Like it's a blessing. It's a freedom to be open and generous. And it is fun for me when I get the opportunity to give. Being in Slovenia, and when sometimes our Slovenes will want to go on a mission trip and they'll want to do something, or some Slovenes have joined staff. And it's like, yes, it's a joy to give and to support our local Slovenes and when as they're growing and going on ministry. it's just a joy. And then knowing that the more you give, the more God's going to bless you with that ability. And he, like, God gives through the channels that are open and flowing. You know, God could always just bless us with finding a bag of cash, right? You know, just walk down the street, oh, look at this, a whole bag of money or something, or a bag of diamonds. Maybe you walked by a jeweler's and they dropped something out the back door and on accident and like, look at me. No, but that's not typically how God works, because he wants to share the blessing with his people of giving. God could do it. He can, there's stories of him dropping diamonds out of the sky in Africa for people that were in need, but he wants to use his own people and give us that joy of being part of that process. And, you know, there's the phrase, I've heard, more life-giving water flows through a river than what sits in a stagnant pond. Even what, like, you know, there's the warnings, you know, of the wealthy that store up and they don't know when their day is going to be ending or what moths and rust will come and destroy, but what flows, God feeds into a flowing river. And this doesn't only apply to money. It also applies to time, to your prayers, to how you serve people. You know, if you take time with others in need, God seems to bless you with more time. If you take time to pray with somebody, you get to grow in your faith as you see God answer prayers and doing miracles in their lives. We also have examples of growing in our own lives as we've seen God answer prayer. But moving on, this brings us to our third way of saying yes to God's best for our life is to go. And that can be a scary one. Go. Ooh, where are we going? Where is God going to call me? I don't know if I want to go anywhere. But Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And then we have in Luke, back in Luke 10, 3, Jesus says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. But the cool thing is, yeah, God's sending us out like lambs, but we're not alone. We have the Lion of Judah with us. We have the Lion on our back that is going to just swipe those wolves and rip out their teeth, and they're nothing. Like, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, but he's toothless in the name of Jesus. We have the power over all of the dark forces because we have the Lion. So ministry life, really, it's an adventure that you're never going to regret. I would say,